From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, March 4th. I'm Abby Larico. The latest food trend? Protein. It's now found as a headline nutrient in snack items, beverages, and the new dietary guidelines, which ask Americans to prioritize protein. But nutrition experts dispute whether the protein craze is warranted.
Americans have been a little short on calcium, potassium, fiber, and vitamin D. Protein was not and has never been in that list.
We'll look into the new push for protein coming up after this news on The Gateway. The Missouri Senate passed its version of the state supplemental budget yesterday. Senators voted 24-6 to pass the bill. Because the Senate made changes to the budget bill, it now goes back to the House. The more than $3 billion supplemental budget will serve as a stopgap in funding for the rest of the fiscal year, which ends June 30th. Within the legislation is an additional $86 million in general revenue for tornado relief in St. Louis. That's in addition to the $100 million the legislature allocated last year during a special session. One of the changes made on the Senate side was to remove almost $15 million toward improving the Missouri State Capitol. The Senate also stripped almost $1 million from the Attorney General's office that was set to go toward establishing a Solicitor General's office in Chesterfield. St. Louis County Executive Sam Page says at least 8 services need to be addressed as the county faces a tight budget. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, Page says those needs are urgent.
The 8 needs Page says have to be funded include improving streets in unincorporated St. Louis County. It also includes creating additional space at the juvenile jail, rewriting civil service rules, and replacing the HVAC system at the Women's Domestic Violence Shelter. The 8 projects add up to about $8.6 million. Page says these projects can't happen until there's money set aside. He says if the county can't get its budget balanced, its financial forecast is turbulent.
St. Louis County is under a budget thunderstorm watch. The budget forecast calls for a budget that will collapse by the end of the year if we don't have significant service reductions.
Page says there's enough money in its reserves for a year or two and that the county might have to consider furloughs. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
The new director of the City of St. Louis's Office of Violence Prevention says the program may be in jeopardy if it's not properly funded. The office works with local organizations to help prevent violence and keep it from persisting. Marvin Teer is the new director. He was a former prosecutor and judge. He told St. Louis on the air that the office is funded through the American Rescue Plan and that the community will be negatively impacted when that funding runs out.
There is going to be a huge void. When these funds sunset, you're talking about therapists and counselors and wound specialists who are not going to be in that mix anymore.
Teer says if money runs short, the office plans to continue its work, but in a limited capacity. The Missouri State Auditor is investigating the finances of the Regional Arts Commission of St. Louis, which awards publicly funded grants to artists and organizations. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports, a whistleblower complaint prompted the investigation.
The whistleblower alleged that RAC mismanaged tax dollars in several ways, including spending too much on administrative expenses and paying employees improper bonuses. State Auditor Scott Fitzpatrick says his office did an initial investigation that is now expanding.
We have verified the veracity of the whistleblower complaint and have seen with our own eyes at this point records that give us enough concern that we want to proceed with an audit.
RAC said in a statement that the organization receives annual independent audits and no problems were raised. The statement says, quote, "We are confident the findings from the state will mirror the success we have come to expect at the local level." Fitzpatrick says he'll publish his findings by early next year. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Both of Missouri's U.S. senators say they will oppose a measure restricting President Donald Trump from using military force in Iran. Trump ordered an attack on Iran over the weekend, citing, among other things, his desire to prevent the country from obtaining a nuclear weapon. The Senate could vote this week on Virginia Senator Tim Kaine's War Powers Resolution barring military action without congressional authorization. Senator Eric Schmidt said in a statement that Kaine's resolution is, quote, overbroad and premature, and that he will be voting no. And the Columbia, Missourian reported Senator Josh Hawley is also voting no, though he says he will reassess if Trump asks Congress for ground troops. Hawley and Schmidt refrained from commenting on Trump's Iran strike over the weekend. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is emphatically denying any ties to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Mawa Iqbal reports.
This comes after former President Bill Clinton testified before Congress saying he flew with Epstein in his plane multiple times and brought along guests, including
the man who's now the governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, and his wife.
Pritzker, however, says
No. Let me be clear. First of all, President Clinton clearly was mistaken, and he corrected the mistake.
Clinton did, in fact, recant his statement. His spokesperson said Pritzker did take a trip on behalf of the Clinton Foundation in 2008, but it was not on Epstein's plane and not with Epstein. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has put together a proposal to curb flooding on the Lower Missouri River with collaboration from four states, including Missouri. The river saw extreme flooding in 1993, 2011, and 2019. Ginger Neiman Harper works for the planning branch for the Corps of Engineers Kansas City District.
This has resulted in recurring extreme flood events, resulting in fatalities, billions of dollars in damages, and of course, lost recreation and natural resources as well.
The proposal could lead to taller levees in some places, in others it could mean moving levees farther from the river. The Corps of Engineers is taking public comments till March 9th. A new attraction at Forest Park aims to help bridge a gap while the boathouse undergoes renovations. St. Louis Public Radio's Katie Gravich has details on a beer and wine garden coming soon to the park.
The boathouse at Forest Park will open the pop-up garden in April with a rotating restaurant and bar menu. The garden will also host live music and food trucks on some weekends. For those who love getting on the water, some good news. You'll still be able to rent boats at a temporary dock just north of the facility. The main boathouse will close this year because of renovations that began in October. Forest Park officials say the boathouse will get several additions and upgrades, including an indoor bar, an event space in the annex building, increased food production capacity, and improved acoustics. Officials say the changes aim to address concerns from a public survey last spring. Forest Park officials say renovations at the boathouse will be completed by the end of the year. I'm Katie Gravich, St. Louis Public Radio.
Protein is having its moment in the spotlight. Companies are adding more protein-enhanced products to their lineups as demand grows. The new federal dietary guidelines unveiled earlier this year also put the nutrient front and center. Harvest Public Media's Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval reports on whether Americans actually need more protein.
It's not hard to find protein-packed foods. For years, consumers have enjoyed protein shakes, powders, and bars. But lately, it's been showing up in some surprising places.
Hello, welcome to Starbucks. What can I get started here today?
I'll do a vanilla protein latte.
Ooh, okay, for that protein, period. Okay, do you want a hotter ice today?
The company is just one of many that have introduced new lines of protein-enhanced products to meet increasing demand. A survey last year from the International Food Information Council found that 7 in 10 Americans want to include protein in their diets.
It's been picking up momentum in videos and TikTok.
Corey Geiger is a dairy economist for CoBank, a national lender. Geiger has studied the newfound appetite for protein. He says it's more than just a social media trend. It's now aligned with a political agenda.
Certainly, more recently, the MAHA movement has amplified what has been taking place in Americana.
The federal government unveiled new dietary guidelines in January that put protein front and center in the American diet. Officials say the new recommendations will, quote, make America healthy again. At a press conference announcing the changes, Food and Drug Administration Commissioner Marty McCary urged Americans to eat more protein.
The old guidelines had such a low protein recommendation that we are increasing that by 50 to 100%.
It's a change that dietitians across the country have mixed feelings about. Stanford University nutrition professor Christopher Gartner served on the board that made the recommendations to the government. He says the administration largely ignored them, and he calls prioritizing protein bizarre.
Americans have been a little short on calcium, potassium, fiber, and vitamin D. Protein was not and has never been in that list of things that we're short of.
He points out that Americans are among the highest per capita consumers of protein-rich meat in the world. Cleveland Clinic dietitian Julia Zumpano says Americans are getting enough protein, mostly because they're consuming more calories than they need. Instead, she'd like Americans to be more mindful of where they get their protein.
Occasional red meat, an abundance of fish, poultry, a regular intake of legumes and beans. You know, eggs are infiltrated in there. The main source of dairy protein is in the form of yogurt.
Some nutrition experts think we do need more protein, like Stuart Phillips, a kinesiology professor at McMaster University in Canada. He agrees with the federal guidelines for protein intake. But Phillips thinks the new food pyramid overemphasizes the role protein should play in people's diets.
It's just that putting them on the top means that they should be eaten the most and more often. That's the sort of implication of the way the pyramid is based now. And that's not necessarily a good thing.
And he worries the new emphasis could encourage people to consume protein-enhanced products they don't need, especially if they don't exercise. Products, perhaps, like the latte I bought and am now about to enjoy. I'm Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval, Harvest Public Media.
I don't know if I need the protein, but wow, a little extra caffeine sounds good right now. Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including STLPR. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.